Morning, I want to talk to you about abounding grace. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. Again, abounding grace. Do you guys use the word abounding much in your life anymore? It's an English word that we don't use a lot, but I thought I would use it today. I thought it would be useful. So get to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to do just a few verses there. Start with verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, no, that's offense. I've been watching too much football. Judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For just as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is so much in these verses that I could go after, but I'm going to try to whittle it down to something that will be appropriate for Sunday morning. This letter to the Romans is studied so much, and there's so much in the whole letter that is amazing that helps us understand our faith. But I want to look at verse 20 again. This time I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they are. Yeah, sometimes when we read some of these other translations, and I like to read multiple translations. I like to see the different thoughts that people are pulling from it, but also I like to see how they're, and so this is a good way of kind of condensing a lot of what Paul is saying through the whole book of Romans, especially in chapter 5. So let me read it again. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they are. But as people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Okay, so just think about that a minute. And here we are using, again, big words like now we're using abundant. I don't say abundant a lot either. But we're gonna work our way through this, because Paul is talking to the Romans about what Jesus has done for us. And I think most of us, at least looking across this room today, I think most of us understand that sin entered the world through the sin of Adam, and that Jesus came to set us free and restore us to the Father. And that's the most important thing to understand. The details of how all that works, a lot of people will say, well, you know, you got to know this and you got to know that. Here's the thing. I just need to know that however I got away from God, and I don't know about you, but I know that I'm a sinner, so, and you should know that I'm a sinner by now, but you should know that you're a sinner too, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul says that elsewhere. But God sent his Son to restore us to the Father. That's the most important thing. The details of that, how that works sometimes, there's a lot of really big theologians that say really big words that make my head hurt. And I can't always follow that perfectly. But lately I have been thinking. Every time I say that, I usually say scary, huh? In November of 2020, I shared a message with this church, and I've mentioned it a few times recently. And the message was called, Sin is Stupid. I'm convinced that sin is just never smart. Anytime we miss the mark, anytime we sin, the result is not going to be good for us or anybody around us. Have you noticed that? I hope you have, because I'm not sure everybody really notices that. A lot of times they think, well, it's no big deal. Yeah, but it's not that it's a big deal, it's that a lot of little deals become a big deal. You know, it won't be that one Oreo that will ruin your life. It'll be that one package of Oreos every day that after a while will have a consequence. So sin, in its different forms, causes us nothing but trouble. And the truth is, if we listen to the Holy Spirit and really try hard to listen to the Holy Spirit, we won't sin. Rather, we'll hear what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, and we'll experience success. We'll experience victory. We'll experience breakthrough. We'll experience all the good things that we want to experience. And always remember, God can't think of something stupid for you to do. Say this out loud. God can't think of something stupid for me to do. Say it again. God can't think of something stupid for me to do. Now, lock eyes with somebody and just tell them, God can't think of something stupid for you to do. And you know what I say, if it's stupid, it wasn't God. Now, I don't know about you, but I do stupid from time to time. I'm surprised, come to think of it. I'm thinking of this right. If they gave a degree in stupid, I could probably test out. Thank you, honey. My wife can be so helpful sometimes. Yeah, I think I'd test out. And you know, I wonder too, how many degrees are just in stupid? There are a lot of degrees that you can get at college now. I'm thinking that's just stupid right there. Now, in today's text, we are told that the law was given so that we could see how sinful we were. That's why we got the law. So here's the thing. If you don't know you're stupid, you're going to just keep being stupid. Right? I remember there was a phrase, seemed like it was connected to one of your friends. Did Donnie, was he the one that said his dad told him, you don't know what you don't know? You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what, how many of you know you don't know what you don't know? You try to do stuff the best you can because you know what you know, but then you don't know what you don't know. And so I've done a lot of renovations on homes over the years and churches. And, you know, sometimes somebody will come along and go, why are you doing it that way? And I'll say, well, because that's how I know to do it. And they'll say something like, have you ever tried this? And I look at it and I go, that would be easy, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be way easier than the way I'm doing it. Recently, somebody helped me get a tool. It's an oscillating saw. I love it. Love it. My favorite tool. You can cut so many things with an oscillating saw that you can't cut with anything else. And I had a bunch of flooring to lay, and I had this other thing that I was going to use so I could jig out around every door. And they showed me how I could use the oscillating saw to just cut the bottom of the door off and slide the... Oh, it was so much easier! But you don't know what you don't know. So, I'm sure you're like me. You found yourself doing stuff that really wasn't all that smart. And humans do that. That's the nature of humans. And we laugh, we joke. What is it they say, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, you're insane. You know, but we are. We're all a little bit nuts. It's just true. And so God, who loved us and had a plan for us even before the world was founded, from the foundation of the world, Jesus died for us. That was the plan. He chose to extend his grace through his Son. And as it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. I preached on that a while back. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This idea of walking in these good works is us being able to walk through life and have good things happen. And he created us for good things. So every one of you is a gift to the world that gives good things. At least you were meant to be. And I'm so glad God didn't leave me stuck and stupid. But he still puts up with me even when I am stupid. That's what I love. Now, has anybody besides me noticed that there seems to be, I don't know, more stupid happening now than a lot of stupid going on out there, isn't there? I mean, I'm just amazed at the amount of stupid that I can see in our world right now. Like, I'll just give you one example. The one that just seems to me to be the stupidest. Well, maybe not. There's so many good ones. If we started talking about it, we could go on for a long time. But, you know, this thing, God said that he made them male and female. And now, somehow that's been changed. And it's kind of boggles my mind, because even if you don't want to believe in God, therefore you don't want to believe that he made them male and female, I keep hearing follow the science, and they have yet to show me any science for anything other than male and female. Like, no matter what people try to do, their chromosomes are their chromosomes. It's kind of tough, isn't it? And I'm sorry that some people want to be something that they're not. I still want to be a lineman for the Green Bay Packers. How many think that would really be stupid? Well, first of all, Green Bay is not stupid enough to do it. They won't commit that sin because the quarterback would get hurt right after I turned into a pile of goo after somebody crushed me. I was never built to be a lineman, but I identify as one. You know, no matter what you do, there's still only two genders, I'm sorry. In 2016, New York City, though, changed the law, and now in New York City, you can fill out an application or paperwork, and the paperwork in New York City has, you know, M for male and F for female and X for whatever. And then what they did was they published a publication with that showed 31 genders. So if you're male, you circle the M, and if you're female, you circle the F, and if you're X, then you could be one of these other, I don't know whether the 31 contained male and female or not, but other 29 to 30 things, whatever it is, you can be this. You can just call yourself anything you want. And then, you know, I was just doing a little research on it because I wondered how many genders there are now. Because that was in 2016, and things have moved along, progressed since then, have you noticed? So, yeah, I found out that it had been increased to 63, but now it's been increased to 81. And then I saw that on Tumblr, I'm not even sure I know what Tumblr is. It's a part of the social media structure, right? Whatever it is. And currently, Tumblr has a list posted of 112 genders. So I'm assuming that they have male and female in there, so there's 110 other things you can choose to be. I'm sorry. Call yourself what you want, but scientifically, there isn't anything to bolster that. Now, it would be easy for me to get carried away talking about stupid, and then I could invite you in, and we could all get into a great big conversation about the stupid things going on in the world. And by the way, we do that. It's called Facebook. But anyway, well, sometimes it is. You know, we get on there, and we got to be careful with all that. There's, you know, again, there is a lot of stupid, and we could be here for hours talking about stupid. But how about we change the subject? Let's go over from sin, which is stupid, to grace, which is good. So what's grace? And a lot of people, you know, over the years, there's been kind of the unmerited favor of God is kind of the most pronounced, quick response to what grace is. And that's correct. But, you know, there's a lot to grace. And so maybe sometime I need to do a series on grace, because I'm pretty sure it would be a series, because there's so much there to unpack. And I don't want to start a message on grace today. Maybe I did start a message on grace today, and I just don't know it yet because I don't know what I'm preaching next Sunday. I don't do a lot of series where there are churches where you go and they have a series for this month and a series for next month and a series for the month after, and I'm not knocking that. That's not who I am. I just listen to God each week and see what he's speaking to my heart. But one of my favorite illustrations for what grace is goes like this. And this happened to me, I don't know, it's been a couple years now. It was back before COVID. I was zipping along on 24 in my Prius. Old 24, I'm sorry. And I was on my way to the church, and I was coming from somewhere the other direction. I wasn't coming from town. I was coming from out in the country. Forget where I had been. Maybe to my son's house. I can't remember. But I was thinking about stuff that I needed to do at the church. And, you know, the old 24 does have more curves in it than the new 24. And I'm coming around a curve, and there's a state highway patrolman. And I look down, and I'm doing 69, which is really, really weird because I'm the weird guy. I will put my Prius on 50 miles an hour, irritate people behind me, but let the wind help blow me, you know, and I've gotten 70 miles per gallon, you know, quite often. That's pretty normal when the wind is behind me and I'm coming from the west, and and nobody's on old 24 anymore. And there was no reason for me to be going that fast, but my brain was somewhere else. So the law is that I pay a ticket. And the ticket was 130, by the way. Because I was hoping that somehow he would have, because he came up to the car and he said, "How you doing today?" And I said, "Well, I'm feeling pretty stupid right now." And he goes, "You know how fast you were going?" And I said, "Yeah, probably just under 70. He goes, "Yeah, you were doing 69. Yeah, he says, "Were you in a hurry to get somewhere?" I said, "Not really. My just wasn't functional, you know, and should have been paying more attention. And I'm just by myself out here on my way. I should have said to the church, but I didn't try to take advantage of the police officer." So anyway, he says, "Okay." And he writes me a ticket, and that's the law. And so under the law, I get a $130 ticket, and I have to pay it. Now, mercy would have been, see, there's the law, and then there's mercy. Mercy would have been, he said, "Oh, well, you know, just be more careful." That would have been mercy. So here's my illustration. The law is you pay the $130 ticket. Mercy is he lets you off and you don't pay the $130 ticket. And grace is he gives me $130. Yeah, I've never seen an officer be graceful. I have had some mercy in my time. I know that might be a little extreme, but seriously, under the law, I get what I deserve. Under mercy, I don't get what I deserve. And under grace, I get what I don't deserve. Does that help you? It's one of my favorite illustrations. The favor that is on Jesus because of what he did and what he deserved is now on me by faith in him. And faith in what he's done. And even though Jesus never sinned, but sometimes I do, and when I say that, you say, what do you mean you sin? Look, we missed the mark. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, I hit the target. Well, there's always a smaller target on the target. If you've ever seen a bullseye, you know, there's big circles and they get smaller and smaller. There's a level at which God before would not have given me too much grief about something, and now he's expecting more out of me. It's like that's what we do with our children, right? We raise them up, and at first they can draw a stick figure and it looks like the best thing we've ever seen. But at some point, you know, when they're 30 years old and they draw us a stick figure and they go, "Look at my beautiful portrait," and I'm like, you're a little more mature than that. I expect more out of you. And I think God does that with us. But no matter what I do, his grace is still on me because his grace is on what his son did, and I've entered into that covenant between the one who was sinless and the Father. So his grace is greater than all my sin, and in fact, his grace is greater than all your sin. In fact, his grace is greater than the sin of the entire world. So let's think together about the verse that we started out with, verse 20 of today's text. Where sin abounded, Grace abounded more. I looked up the Greek words, expecting them to be like the same word, and they weren't. One was one word for increase, and the other was a different word for increase with another word for increase attached to it, and it was hyper. How many of you have ever heard the word hyper? Yeah. For all you Star Wars fans, we're going to put it into hyperdrive. There is so much more of God's increase of grace that in comparison, sins abounding is still tiny. In comparison to God's grace, sin is just a little thing. I thought of it this way. Sin might be a cup of coffee. Now, I'm not saying it's sin to drink coffee. Don't tell me something. But sin might be a big mug of coffee, big. And maybe in the day that we're living in, it's a stein of coffee. You know, it's a bunch of coffee. And we're not used to that much coffee. You know, they came up with it. You went to the drive-thru and they had, you know, regular, medium, you know, small, medium, large, extra large, grande, is that what they call it? And then super ridiculous mega coffee. Even that is nothing compared to the words in the original language, because this isn't just a big, big cup of coffee. This is a tanker of grace compared to a cup of coffee. It's a tanker ship full of grace, full of grace coffee compared to sin coffee. Is there a lot of stupid in the world? Yeah. Yeah. Is it worse than any other time in my lifetime? It feels like it. I don't know. It seems like it's worse than any other time in my lifetime. I was trying to remember back. You know, I was there when the Jesus movement was happening. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. You know, and just weird stuff was going on and things people weren't used to. I remember there was a song about hair. Long-haired hippie people need not apply. Remember that? Some of you remember that song? Yeah, I saw a meme the other day. It says, please, long-haired hippie people, please apply. Like, people are desperate. They'll hire the long-haired person now. Yeah. But yeah, but no matter what, where sin abounds, grace is way more. That's the thing that I want to plant in our minds today at Bethel Church in Defiance, Ohio. I want us to realize, okay, we're going to see a lot of stupid out there, and I don't know about you, but when I see some of that stupid, I get irritated by the stupid. Anybody besides me get irritated by the stupid? It's hard not to watch the news and not be irritated. That's why I'm watching less news. You know, I want to be aware of what's going on around me, but, yeah, oh man, the amount of stupid that flows out of the TV, even the channels that are supposed to be more quote-unquote conservative, it's just a lot of stupid. But where stupid did abound, grace did much more abound. Well, where is all this grace then? See, the mind focused on the law is focused on what's not working, on what's wrong. It always sees more of what's wrong than what's right. But what if there is more that's right than is wrong?
Well, I don't know, Pastor. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of good things happening out there.
What if there really is more right than wrong, and the problem is we don't see it through the right lenses? Right lenses. Did I talk about lenses last week? Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. What if God's grace is greater than what we've been seeing? And here again, Romans 5:20, in another version, the NIV. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I love this. I just need to see it. And, you know, I did talk about new lenses last week. If you didn't catch last week, by the way, compared to Christmas Sunday, the Sunday after Christmas, we had about a 40% decrease in the number of people that were here. I understand. I hate it when the holiday falls on Saturday because it just makes the whole weekend just kind of crazy. And I get it. But you can catch up on last week's message. Go to BethelDefiance.com, click on resources, audio, video. And even today, with some of our glitches in our video, we hopefully will have one we can put up there that you can see today's message, and people who missed today's message can catch it. It's all good. By the way, I'm not saying this to focus on the law. Like, you better. No, just, it's good. It's worth catching. It'll beat the tar out of whatever news station you're going to listen to if you just podcast it and listen. The new lenses we talked about last week were lenses that help us see what God's doing so that we don't miss it. But we live in a 24/7, 365 infotainment world, and politics and stuff has crept into everything we do so that you can't hardly even watch a football game or any other sporting event without something sneaking into it. So while stupid is running rampant, grace is here to overcome it. And just let me say this, the only way that sin overwhelms God's grace is if we refuse to perceive it and receive it. I wrote that down in bold letters here. The only way that sin overwhelms God's grace is if we refuse to perceive it and receive it. Jesus didn't come preaching the power of sin. Jesus came preaching the power of the kingdom. And he came to open the blind eyes, both physically and spiritually. He talked to the Pharisees after he healed a blind person, and he says, yeah, you guys are blind and don't know it. He came to preach the gospel. It's the good news. How many of you want to hear good news? Me too. I need to work harder on taking away from the easy, here's where I normally go with my remote control, and I need to look a little harder for where I don't normally go so I can get filled with good news, the gospel. And so while the TV has whatever news they put out, we have the good news. And no matter how bad things look, no matter how bad things look, we can put on the lenses of grace. And we can see what's not being seen. And then we can encourage people around us to break free of the things that are holding them back. This is a great day to live full of grace toward everyone around you and letting the grace of God shine through you. And I hear it in some of the testimonies, and it's exciting. Now let me read to you from 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 8 through 17. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted his enemies, saying, he consulted his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware and don't go past that place, for the Syrians are going down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God told him, and thus he warned him and was watchful, not just once or twice. So here's what's going on. The prophet's telling the king where his army doesn't need to be if they don't want to get into a fight. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord. But Elijah, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words you speak in your bedroom. Here was a man of God who could hear things and know things through the Spirit, and he was warning the king of Israel. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And he was told, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded that city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? Do you remember this story? If you don't remember the story, I love this one. And so Elijah answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. When I read this story, I just think, oh Lord, open our eyes. Open my eyes. Help me to see the good. There is so much good, but it's so easy to be distracted and attracted to the negative stuff that's going on. It's so easy to think, oh, things are crazy. Things are nuts. They're never going to be right again. Our new normal and all this kind of stuff that people keep saying. And I'm saying, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to the promises. Promises like 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, who have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. No matter what they put me through or what they send at me, there's something in the center of my being, if I'm born again, that makes me to know that ultimately everything is going to be okay. And I need to focus myself on that idea that everything's going to be okay and not focus myself on, oh, look where this world's going, to hell in a handbasket. He's with us. Hebrews 13:5 says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Man, he's right here. He's right here. And I get bad news, and I see bad news on the TV, and I see this and that and everything else, and I just need to go, wait a minute. Click, turn off the TV. Nobody does that anymore, do they? You can see how old I am. I turned off the TV like when I was a kid. I used to be the remote control. How many of you were the remote control for your parents at one point or another? Click. You know, I just need to get away from stuff sometimes and refocus myself on who he says I am and what he is doing in my life. John 16:33, same author, but this time the gospel instead of his letter. He says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." It doesn't mean that we're not going to see trouble or experience trouble or there's not going to be trouble. But here's the thing. He overcame the world. This is a done deal. I win. Hey, me. No, I didn't do anything to win. I just get to be on the winning side. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. And more." You guys are going, abundantly, abundantly. The word abundantly doesn't exist in the original language. It just says life and more. That's because the more word right there is a word that means more than enough. It's super provision. It's beyond what you can imagine. We're back to that tanker full of coffee. That tanker ship full of coffee compared to the grande that you just picked up in the drive-thru. It's more. It's abundant. It's not going to run out. Whatever we think we're seeing, I just want to encourage us today. God has more. God has more. And whatever we think the world is going through right now, and it's going to go through stuff. Somebody says, "Can it get any worse?" I don't know. I think it can. I think for some people, they've gone through worse, and yet they've come out the other side, and they've seen that God did still provide. So I want to focus on the abundant grace that God has given me, because they can come and take me away tomorrow, and hang me someplace, or stick me in a concentration camp until I die, or whatever. But the good news is, I'm going to live forever. And I'm going to live in his provision. And just as Jesus rose from the dead, so I also will walk, not only in this life and newness of life, but in the next life too. Can't stop the overwhelming power of his amazing grace. Amen.